Good morning, Trinity. How's everybody doing? It's good to see you. We have a baptism this morning, so God is good. Seeing another new member just joining God's family, and we're just glad to see that. Rose Juliet. We're glad that each of you are here also with us this morning, and we have two cards we'd like to encourage you to fill out. One's yellow and one's blue. One is for a prayer request, and if you have a prayer request, please fill the card out and let us know what those prayers might be. Give us the phone number and some contact information so we can follow up with you. Also, I'd like to say if you are a visitor or a member, we do want to just ask you to go ahead and sign up, and there's a drawing one of these weeks. So we just want to let you know, make sure and sign that up so you can maybe get chosen. Kidding. But I do want to say, if you're here with us, we'd love to see who's here and welcome you. At this time, we'd like to have you stand and welcome one another. Reach out across the aisle and welcome each other. We make our beginning this morning. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Got a sneak preview? I think it will. It'll be fun. Thanks. Appreciate it. This is a hard message. So thanks. Not a hard one, but a necessary one. Thanks, Tony. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by man. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, "Who sees us? Who knows us?" You shall turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that he should make say of his maker, "He did not make me"? Or the form say of him who formed it, "He has no understanding"? Is not a very little while until it is a very little while until I return to Lebanon, shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in one holy of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husbands. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel this day is written in the book of St. Mark, the seventh chapter, beginning with verse 1. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they do wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but rather eat with defiled hands? And Jesus said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, If a man tells his father or his mother, Whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus making the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down void. And many such things you do. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We'd like to just say welcome here. What a wonderful family you guys have. And to be able to look at this day. Olive, you realize that this happened in your life one day?
No.
Yeah, it did when you were just tiny like Rose. And we're going to have you help us because I want you to answer some questions. Now, in the Bible, our Lord tells us, that's Jesus, that we're supposed to go and make disciples. And one of the ways we do that is by baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do that. You know what baptism is? Come over here. Can you look at this? Can you stick your finger in there? It's water, isn't it? Does it feel like water maybe in the tub at home? Can you help me pour it in? Okay, now you're kind of not able to see it in there. Can you hear it? Can you see it? You think we should have a lot or a little? Is that about right? More? Okay, you want to get your sister good and wet, huh? Okay. What's it? Yeah. Well, Olive, yeah, go ahead. Olive, I want to thank you. You know what we're going to do? In a minute, we're going to pray for your sister, and then we're going to baptize her. And so we're going to put the water on her forehead. just like we did when we did it for you, okay? And so what I want you to understand is just like she's getting baptized today, Mommy and Daddy did the same thing for you, okay? We took God's word and put God's water, or with this water with it, and that's called baptism, okay? Does that help you understand that? Good. Okay, go stand by Dad or Mom. Well, today is a day that God is calling your child, Rose, Juliet, here into the waters of holy baptism, and that she will become a member of God's family. As we baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I want you to realize that. I also want you to realize that there are things that this church family is promising to do with you, and that is to help you and to aid you in the bringing up of your child, because as we give her this baptism, God is doing that action, choosing her to be his child. And what a beautiful blessing and picture that is. God's doing this. As you raise her up as in a Christian home, bringing her to church and Sunday school, and putting in her hands the Word of God, teaching her how to pray, those little tiny hands, to be able to form those prayers. Do you say prayers at the dinner table, don't you? Yeah, and probably before you go to bed, maybe when you wake up, and any time in the day you can pray. That's a neat thing, because your Heavenly Father likes to hear those, and so does Jesus. So, Rose, Juliet, Pivotal, receive the sign of the cross both upon the forehead and also upon your body, in token that you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Now I look to you as sponsors, and you, Mom and Dad, and ask, do you gladly and willingly take upon this responsibility to raise her up in a Christian home? Thank you. And you do? And it is with your great comfort that you're also able to assist Mom and Dad, and to make sure as she grows and as they raise her, that you're able to help her nourish her faith. And so by you saying your prayers on her behalf and upon their behalf, this will be an answer to prayer that God will bring. So we want to assure you of that. And also here at Trinity, we want you to do that as well. And so we're about bringing her up in the Christian faith. And Olive, where do you go to school? At Blankner now. Did you ever go to Trinity Child Development Center? Yes. And so now you're all grown up and you went to Blankner. So God has given you some time here with us where God raised you up. And so, Trinity, we've had this opportunity. Now, I'd like to invite you, congregation, to open your hymnals to the back cover, and we will have the Apostles' Creed now said. And this is the faith into which Rose is to be baptized. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May I borrow her for just a second? Yeah, you're going to come to me. You probably think you'd like to chew on my chain again, huh? Play with my glasses, maybe? Are you ready? You want to go watch? And I'm going to have you hold this, okay? And when I ask for it, okay? You wish her to be called Rose Juliet Pivotal? Rose, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, the name of God the Son. You got a faithful there. And in the name of God the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yay! And we'd like to have a prayer now. Yeah, your sister wanted all that water. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing Rose into our family, yes, but more importantly, into your family. So Jesus, may you bless her all the days of her life, and may you give her a wonderful home and prepare her for the future as to be a servant of you throughout her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you hold her up so that they can see? And could we give her a Trinity welcome? Well, that's good. You really did hold her up. Brennan?
We also have a few things here for you. We have a baptismal candle, not that you can play with fire yet, but your parents can light it on this day next year, and you can celebrate your baptismal birthday and how much fun you had having your head get dunked. Maybe you want to hold this since Mommy has that. And we also have some other gifts in here, including a shawl, it looks like, or a blanket.
A medallion.
And what?
A medallion.
A medallion and the certificate for the baptism.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God's blessings. David, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll probably need to sign that. Thanks. Congratulations. 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 We join together in our sermon. No, we're going to go to the sermon directly. Thank you. Thanks for getting that. Just leave it for you. And then you've got to get the cards. We welcome each of you here this morning. I would like to just preface this by saying this is a wonderful day in the Pivotal household, just to see another new face in the family, their family, but also in our Trinity family. We're glad to have her and glad to have each of you who are worshiping with us today. Today is a message that is based off the epistle lesson. That's the middle lesson or the second one. It's Ephesians chapter 5, if we could go to that. I would like to say this is perhaps one of the hardest messages to talk about today. Partially because it's so personal in my own family, and secondly, because it's so politically charged in this topic. And in this environment, we may need to let you know that some of this may run counter to our culture. But it is based on God's holy word. In America today, there is one divorce every 36 seconds, nearly two a minute. Nearly 2,400 divorces will occur in America today and every day throughout the week. In America, nearly 1 million divorces will occur annually, 876,000 actually. The average length of a marriage is 8 years. I don't want anybody thinking about, what year was it we were married, honey? I want you to think about what the Lord is doing in the midst of your marriage and your relationships. Overall, 41% of marriages end in divorce, 60% on second marriages, and 73% end in divorce on third marriages. Do you realize that 43% of our children in America today are going to be raised without their daddy? And that 28% of the children living with a divorced parent are living in a household that is living at or below the poverty level. Obviously, there is a need to talk about this subject. And God places a very high value upon marriage and the Christian marriage, the family, the home. We recall that in the catechism, there are two tablets, if you will, and the first three commands deal with God's relationship with man. The second tablet, if you will, commandments 4-10, deal with man's relationship with man. At the top of that commandment list of man's relationship with man. God places such value that he says, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and you will live long upon the face of the earth. God places great emphasis upon the home and upon marriage, upon the family. In fact, it's simply the backbone of our society and of our culture. I begin today not with verse 22, but rather with verse 21. And it's not listed in your bulletin, but I'd like to have you listen to it. Be subject one to another in fear of Christ. Ephesians 5:21. And that text tells us that we should be voluntarily submitting ourselves one unto the other out of fear, love, respect, awe of God. That's what the word fear means, especially in the Old Testament. It's that all-encompassing, not only fear-shaking, but awe of God and who He is. That respect for Him, that admiration and the place He holds. You want to keep His way. And of course, love of Christ. We begin by saying to each and every one of you, out of fear, love, respect, and awe of Christ, let Christ be in the middle of all of your relationships, humanly, that you have. At the workplace, certainly. In the family, certainly. In your marriage, absolutely. And we begin by stating that. But I would like to share with you a very personal story. In my family, my sister was married to a man who had trained to be a Navy SEAL. He said to her after a fight that had been one of many, while riding down a flooding river that had just hit their home, as they were kayaking out for their life, he looked at her and he looked at her dog and he said, I could kill you and your dog, and they'd never find your bodies. Needless to say, that made that journey a little bit more difficult. Another day during her pregnancy, with his own child, he karate kicks her in the abdomen, causing her great pain. My sister thought she might even lose the baby. Oh, yes, there were other incidents. Calls to the police, fighting and the like. My sister carried the baby inside of her womb and fled to our house on an icy Christmas day along with her boxer dog and made it to Tennessee from Illinois. We had everything set up. She was going to start her life over, living with us, and we knew that statistically, just maybe, she might return to him. Because that's what you see most abused people do. As they return up to 7 times before they finally leave. That is, if they're still alive. She did go back. He came up. She went back with him. And the baby was born, and after several more months, even more problems. But she now had become pregnant and had conceived another child. She was now even more connected, and with child the custody laws, the children were now also subject to his abuse. Let me stop here and ask. The vows that my sister said at the wedding rail, at the altar, until death us do part, was she still bound by them? Did they apply to her even now? Biblically, I don't think so. Because the Bible actually talks about killing of a relationship is breaking a relationship that is like murder in the relationship. What he had done was to have killed her relationship and broken many, many other ways the marriage vows. However, there were good church people Not in the church where we were at, because they moved back to now Florida. And I remember she telling me one day that her good Christian friends asked her to repent and return to her husband. He should go back, she should go back. And when she went back to church, she was treated differently inside of her own church. And in fact, the church even, well, they made her husband Jesus in the Passion Play. She offered to handle the nails, but they wouldn't give her a hammer. She said, when I walk in, it's like I have a big red D on my forehead, tattooed. I can't erase it. She felt judged and abused further now by her Christian community. Silently, she was shamed into the shadows of the church and stopped going even for a while. I look at you, not knowing your story, but knowing that 41% of you or more might be going through or have gone through such a thing. Divorce is a very ugly thing, and it's not easily gone through. To you, I want to say, after seeing this and hearing her story, I want to offer you my forgiveness and ask for your forgiveness of me or any other Christian pastor that may have judged you. I'm sorry if you walked into this church or any other Christian church and felt like you had a big red D tattooed, neon sign blinking, divorced. I'm sorry if someone asked you silently, what did you do? Why don't you repent? You ought to go back. I'm sorry if you heard that. I'm sorry that it was said. And we should not be judging one another in such ways. But we in this church, in this place, need to have people and pastor together welcoming. For this is a place of sanctuary, a place of rest. This is a hospital for souls who are sick and sickened with the things that have gone on in their life. I am sorry. And if that's you, please forgive us. That is not why I begin today with this story, but it's rather so that you will understand that in verse 21, we need to understand and to start with the message that Christ is in the midst of every one of our relationships, and voluntarily we stand there and we welcome Him into that, and we live out of fear, love, and respect for the Lord, no matter what may have separated us or surrounded us with words we want to share. We need to understand, not just from my perspective, but their perspective as well, because of who Jesus is and who He places in my life. As other people, I look at my relationships with them through my relationship with Jesus Christ, especially in my marriage. How then can we build a Christian marriage? We mutually know that we're subject to one another. Voluntarily, hypotasso, placing ourselves in submission to the other. Now, verse 22, wives, be hypotasso, voluntarily submitting to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, same verse, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. I remember talking with my sister, and when she began to date again, I talked with her about this text. And after she quit laughing, she said, there's no way, no way, Doug, that I will ever submit to another man. I love you, but I know that won't work for me. I assured her that this will work for you if you're dealing with a Christian spouse. God led her to a wonderful man. He modeled a relationship of hypotasso, placing Himself beneath her, meaning he loved her that much that he would willingly give up the things of his life in order to help her in hers. He modeled that. His relationship was not one of headship or master, but as caring and compassionate and helpful, a loving person concerned about my sister who had become his wife. He loved her two children. And after a while, they announced they were going to get married. I continued to talk with her about the rest of today's texts. Husbands, agape love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. How much did Jesus do to save this church? To save you personally? What did he do? He went to the cross of Calvary. And there he paid for the price and the penalty of each and every one of our sins. And upon Calvary's cross, his blood dripped down from the cross to cover all of our sins. And the Bible tells us that as the bride of Christ, we stand there. We stand there without stain or wrinkle, without spot or blemish. We are declared to be holy because of what Christ has done for us. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And as I shared that text with her, she'd said to me, "That's like my husband. That's like my husband." "I never thought I would say this," is what she said. "But when you have a Christian husband, it does make all the difference in the world." She said, in her words, voluntarily, "I will submit. He can be head. It's the best deal going. It's all good because it's better for me and it's a lot better for him." What she was saying, when you have a Christian husband who is thinking of her before he thought of himself, who was willing to give himself up like Christ gave for the church, who was concerned about her and her day and how life was being lived out and what she was going through as much as he was worried about his day, she found safety and security and shelter and peace that she'd never enjoyed for so many years of abuse, of brokenness, and a shattered life. She came out of the shadows, and she's back in church. She's very active, and she's leading her life as a Christian woman in a Christian marriage. Now, I know you know, Desiree and I have been probably, I've told you enough that we've been married nearly 42 years. And you know, I still call her my bride. That's her nickname. And I remember our wedding day. It was a double wedding, by the way. And I looked at her and she looked up at me. And she and I exchanged our vows. But as much as I loved her that day and as good and beautiful as she was, I love her more today than I've ever loved her. And she's more beautiful to me than the day that I married her. We've been blessed with three great kids, three wonderful young men. We're so proud of them. We love them. And we have one of the best grandchildren you'll ever meet. If you don't believe me, I've got pictures. He's now 4, and he's actually in the back of the church today, I see. And he's going to have a little baby brother or sister this February. My friends, I don't know what God could have given me as a sweeter, better gift, but to have my Desiree, my bride, by my side. Desiree and I have gone through a lot of life, lived a lot of life over these past 42 years. We've hit bumps We've took our lumps and we bruises and beatings of this world and this life, but you know what? We did it together. When my dad died, when Desiree's mom got so sick and then later died years later, God made us one. And we were stronger as a team than we were as individuals. She is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She is my helpmeet, that one in a mystical and magical way God has blessed our marriage as Jesus stands in the midst of it with us every day. Now, there are a few boundaries I should tell you about. Jesus should stand in the midst of each of your relationships, but especially in marriage. God is not desiring or planning or permitting a divorce just because you're tired of someone. He clearly says and teaches, Moses may have allowed for divorce, but it was not so from the beginning. For one of the reasons that a husband in the Old Testament sometimes would seek a divorce was simply because he was tired of his wife. And he could ask for a divorce simply if he didn't like the way she cooked or how she cleaned. Billy Graham Ministries recently, not so long ago, I should say, did a study of Christian marriages and found that those couples who did three things, that prayed together, that studied God's word, and attended church regularly together, the statistic wasn't that 41% of them got divorced. It was that 95% of them remained married. Yesterday we laid to rest in this church, this very church, Dr. Harry Raymond. His wife was seated right over there. 62 years of marriage. 62 years of marriage. And yesterday, last night, Saturday evening service, Bill Wilson sat there and we recalled he'd been married 64. And in the last service, we had another widow that we'd prayed for her husband. And as she got her granddaughter here to college, she came to see how her granddaughter was doing. And Alex's grandma said, today would have been my husband's and I, our 57th anniversary. You see, they had a longing to live life together and to be with one another, a strength of being together, a joy of being together. And now they have a comfort in Christ of knowing that one day again, they shall see one another as they see the face of their beautiful Savior. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two will become flesh. And here are the two magical words that you need to know. Husbands, your greatest gift is to love your wife. Agape lover. Agape lover. That means if there's two waffles, you make sure she gets one of them. Even though you could have got out the door before she got up. That means you think of her. Agape lover. And it goes so deep into that. But wives, the best gift you can give your husband is to respect him. To respect him. And show him that you love him. By voluntarily loving him that much that you're willing to respect him. And that will go so very far in your marriage because you see, these guys, we're wired to need your respect. We want our ladies to know that you love us and you respect us and that you're glad you're with us. And guys, our wives need to know that we love them so much that we cherish them and nourish that relationship. It's so easy. Love, guys, your wives. Gals, respect your husbands. And may God bless your marriages, but may God bless your relationships also one another. And may Jesus bless you as you stand together, united in His holy name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. May be seated. We've confessed our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We now gather our offerings. Savior Jesus, we thank you that have you indeed become one with us in our relationships. Especially, O Lord, may you bless our relationship with our spouse. And for those who have been separated by death from their spouse, may you, O Lord, comfort them and give them a peace that surpasses all human understanding. For those who have been separated through such a thing as divorce, may you also comfort them. And may you allow your church to be a refuge and a sanctuary, a place where they can hear of your word. And also, Lord, where there is someone who knows that they've given offense, there can be a place where they can find a place to confess, a place where they can receive also the comfort of having heard that message that the gospel can be theirs and forgiveness can be found. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, O Lord, that you would bless this congregation, its church. May you bless its leaders. May you bless its pastor, its pastoral staff with wisdom and guidance. May you be with us day in and day out. Be with our members, Lord Jesus, and bless them. Be with the pivotal family as they greatly rejoice in this day for Rose's baptism. And we ask, O Lord, that you'd bless also our school where children are discipled and nourished. May you be with their teachers and bless them. May you also bless the families that bring them and the homes from which they come. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now hear, O Lord, the prayers that have been requested.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. Pray for Officer Kevin Valencia for continued prayer and recovery from a head injury sustained while on duty. We pray for comfort for Enid and her family at the passing of her mother this past Thursday. We pray for David, who just had a transplant, that the transplant, kidney transplant takes, and prayers also for his donor's family and for a speedy recovery for David. We pray for the family and friends of Harry Raymond. Thanks for the love and support his family has offered for throughout the past weeks, and also thanks to all who assisted in the service yesterday. We also pray for Senator John McCain at his passing yesterday from glioblastoma. We also extend the prayers to all of those who are also suffering from cancer. We also pray for the veterans, including former and current POWs. Lord, in your mercy.
And now together we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life, life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament, in my blood which is given and is shed for you for the remission of your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we drink, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all now is ready.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning, Trinity, guests, friends. Thank you, Pastor, for your words today. And I just want to say it's really neat to see all the kids right in the front. Pastors love it. So they like noisy kids, quiet kids, whatever kids, right up front. It's awesome. It really is great. Your announcements for today. So in 15 minutes, actually very soon, there's an informational meeting about the National Youth Gathering. This is where 30 to 40,000 Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod high school kids come together. It's going to be in Minneapolis, and there's a group growing from Trinity to go, and there's an informational meeting, and they have pizza. So it's in the Christian Life Center, which if you want to find it, you go out this door straight down the hall, take the first right, and you're at our cafeteria, and you can hear about that event and putting that together. And it's not till next summer, so there's a lot of planning that has to go into that. The parish choir and Trinity handbell choirs are starting up again. Practices are Wednesdays, starting this Wednesday the 29th, 6:30 for handbells, 7:30 for the parish choir. And they meet right up in our balcony with our world-renowned organ as their accompaniment. And anything I don't get right in the announcements is in the Trinity Weekly in the back of the church, the narthex. This Wednesday again on the 29th at 6:30, in the very first loggia, that's our hallway classroom, is a meeting about Operation Barnabas. It's an outreach ministry that's just getting started at Trinity to outreach to veterans. And they're working on how it's going to operate and exactly how that ministry is going to look in the future. Thanks and support for the Sunday school. Last week there were over 40 kids in the first week of Sunday school, 10 adults. Thank you from the staff, and continue to keep that program in your prayers and bring more of these kids to join them. And then a word of note that confirmation instruction begins for 7th and 8th graders on September 9th at 12:30, immediately following the 11 a.m. worship service. And this will include both parents and students at initial meeting for registration on September 9th. Thank you.
Ted, just would like to say, for those of you who are wanting to know a bit more about, as adults, the Christian faith, or wanting to know a bit more about Trinity, we have a foundations class of Christian Basics 101. That began last Wednesday, and it's a wonderful time for you to start it this Wednesday if you'd like to be a part of that. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. over in the cafeteria, where the meeting's going to be just in a few minutes. So God's blessings. Please join us for our final hymn. peace and serve the Lord with joy.